Okay, can you hear me?
Stay up. Hold on. Everybody relax.
Okay, does this microphone make my butt look big? If you would, I'd like to say another prayer, Father. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for my assistant here that's going to help me with my pages. And thank you for the other gentleman who went out and helped get the video to, at the end ready and this microphone stand to help me give you the message. And Father, I just thank you for the words that you put on my heart and hope we can bless at least one person here today, Lord, and I just thank you for that. And I want to pray for C-Mac. I got a text from him last night that he had a knee replacement, so Father, just give him a good recovery and get him back in the huddle. And Father, I just love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Once upon a time when I was very young, I had a drug problem. My parents drugged me to church every Sunday. They knew that it was time to plant the seed early in my life. As a young boy just learning, I do remember reading Bible stories and learning about Jesus. Then in my teenage years is when I started rebelling and about going to church. Sometimes I would go and sometimes I would just play sick. Then in my late 20s, when I met my wife and we started going to church together, I think some of the time was just to put a check mark in the box to say I went to church. Then in 2004, when Crossroads Community Church opened the doors to their new church, is when I felt I was learning about Jesus. I am a slow learner, but I felt at home in the church. In February of 2009, I got a phone call that a very close childhood friend of mine had passed away. He was only 43, and I thought he was in pretty good health. I knew I would never see him again except in heaven, but I did not know Christ, so I asked him into my heart then. I told his wife and family that because of his death, I accepted Christ to give them some closure. You see, God took a life to save a life. Around the same time, my wife, Barb, and I received a thank you card from our pastor for being so faithful in our giving. We attend Crossroads Community Church on Saturday nights because it fit into our schedule. On Saturday, February 21st, 2009, before my wife and I walked up to thank the pastor for the card, my wife said, "Are you going to tell him you're not baptized?" I said, "No." By the time we started talking to him, the Spirit started talking for me and told him that I was not baptized. I was planning on saying no, and the next thing I know, we're setting up a meeting later that week to talk about being baptized. So on February 28th, 2009, I was baptized. So you never know what it might take that will influence someone to accept Christ. Those two simple words and the death of a friend would change my life forever. Now let's fast forward to 2012. I've always been healthy, never had flu, allergies, or any unhealthy illnesses. I may have had a cold every now and then, but nothing where I had to go to the doctor. One cool day in October 2012, I was doing some bass fishing, and I had some difficulty moving my fingers and zipping my coat. I loaded my boat and went home, and everything seemed to be okay. A few days later, I noticed muscles twitching, so I made an appointment with a doctor, and he was not sure what was going on. So he referred me to a neurologist. In November of 2012, the neurologist ran some tests and told my wife and me, "I believe you have ALS and I want a second opinion." ALS is amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. Mike Garrow, what is it really?
Anthony loves smiling.
Thank you. Thank you. I heard of ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, but I didn't know about the disease. He made an appointment for me to go to the IU Neuroscience Center down in Indianapolis for the second opinion. On December 14, 2012, the doctor ran some more tests and confirmed that I have ALS. The Lord spoke to me right after she said that, and he told me, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, Philippians 4:13. He has told me he would not give me any more than I could handle as well. Then we started crying. This is when you think your life is about to end, but not me. This is the beginning of a new journey. Here are some statistics of ALS. Approximately 5,600 people in the U.S. are diagnosed with ALS each year. The incidence of ALS is 2 per 100,000, and it is estimated that as many as 30,000 Americans may have the disease at any given time. People with ALS are generally paralyzed in later stages of the disease. In most cases, it does not affect the mind. Don't ask my wife. Life expectancy is 2 to 5 years, and every 90 minutes someone is diagnosed, and every 90 minutes someone loses their battle with ALS. They still don't know how one gets it, and there is no cure. I prefer to throw the statistics out the window because God is in control and Jesus is the only answer. I have been blessed with this disease because it has taken me down roads I would have never traveled and blessed me with so many different people. I have been blessed by men of the great banquet, you men of huddle, and friends that allow me to go out and run around. I will highlight a few things that have happened since I was diagnosed with this disease. The first thing is that God reunited me with a childhood friend. We were not best buddies, but we played ball and run around with the same crowd. When he found out that I had ALS, the Lord put it on his heart to call me every night and pray for me. It first started out that I was the main topic of the prayer, but now we are praying for so many others in situations. It is great to see prayers being answered. The total phone calls to date as of last night was 1,415. We are going to keep praying until my ALS is gone. We know when it's God's time and I am healed, we will be giving God the glory. The next thing that is special is a pastor from North Carolina who we met at a campground. He introduced himself to us and asked me what I did for a living. I told him I was on disability with ALS. He proceeded to tell me that most people ask those two words, why me? I did not ask God, why me? And I still haven't asked him. He knew me less than 15 minutes and said my smile and positive attitude would carry me through this disease with the Lord. He proceeded to tell me, why not me? He knew that God was using me to help further his kingdom because of my faith and attitude. We can all ask ourselves, why not me, and go out and spread his word to further his kingdom. I may not be able to help physically, but I can still use my voice to help inspire others. I look at this disease as a blessing, because it is a tool and a platform that God has equipped me with to spread his word. I never would have believed that I would be in front of people and telling my story, but God did. The Lord revealed a miracle to me in 2013. There was a gentleman at my church who also had ALS. I think he had it for 4 or 5 years. We compared symptoms and talked about ALS for a few minutes. This was in the spring of 2013. Then in the summer of 2013, I was giving a talk and a young girl came up to me and said, "You know my grandfather who has ALS?" I mentioned his name and she says, "Yes, that is him." I said, "Did he pass away with ALS?" And she said, "No, he has been healed." Remember, I said there is no cure for ALS, so the only cure is from the Lord. I called him that evening and he said it was from prayers from a group of men that he received earlier in that year. Then a year later, I was giving another talk and he was in the same room. I believe this was a God incident because I walked over and put my hand on his shoulder and looked at the Lord and said, "Thank you for showing me what you are going to do in my life when it is your time." And I gave God the glory for that healing power. You can just feel the Holy Spirit's presence in that room. Now here it is, 4 years later, and I ask myself, where would I be if I didn't know the Lord and didn't listen to his voice each time he talked to me? He has given me many ideas to help me continue to be independent. I have developed a utensil holder that helps me feed myself and currently is being patented for production. I carry like a 6-inch by 22-inch high density roll that I put in my lap to give my elbows leverage so I can feed myself. There have been several little things that I've developed just by listening to him. I made it through another year of mowing with my zero-turn mower and push mower. It's rather humbling knowing that I can start a push mower and use it, but I can't shake your hand, give you a hug, or even clap my hands. As I was out mowing this summer and listening to my worship songs, one song came on that brought me to tears. I knew I was doing this talk and the Lord put that song in my heart and I will play it for you at the end. Being on the mower gives me a lot of time to worship and give praise to the Lord. Even with this disease, I still feel I take things for granted. There may be a morning that I wake up and I don't pray until later in the day because I know he has got me covered. I do know that I need to be thankful for the strength that he gives me every morning when I get out of bed. There are two things about this disease that brings me to tears. One being another patient with ALS who has a young child or grandchild, because I think about that child not being able to play and learn from that patient. A prime example is the movie Gleason. It is a movie about Steve Gleason of the New Orleans Saints football team and his documentary with ALS. If you get an opportunity to see it, you will see what most ALS patients are going through. The second thing that brings me to tears is when almost everyone has their arms and hands raised to the Lord during worship service. I look around the room and I see these arms and hands raised to the Lord. My arms and hands are dangling in front of me. Oh, how I wish for strength to lift my arms and hands to the Lord. I know one day I will be doing that. And I now have a vision that I will be healed during a worship service and I will do cartwheels down the aisle to the stage. Now this is a don't try this at home. The Lord has blessed me with some awesome feet too. I use my feet to turn pages of the newspaper. I've even been practicing on the remote control. I can do that too. Open cabinet doors and start a car. This summer, a friend of mine borrowed my truck and left his car in my barn. I needed to get the mower out, so I got into his car and I couldn't start it with my hand. I got out of the car and the Lord told me to take my shoes off and get in. I was able to get, Yeah, I was able to get my foot to the ignition and put the key between my toes and start the car. I backed the car out of the barn and turned the car off with my toes. I then reached over with my right foot and grabbed the handle of the door and opened the door. I am surprised I didn't get a cramp, and I thank the Lord that he had it all under control. I could have ignored him, but I didn't. And now I use my toes to start my truck once in a while. Now one day in August, I was in my barn looking at my bass boat. Guess who struck up the conversation this time? The Lord. He said, "Tony, I've given you ample opportunities to catch that 10-pound largemouth bass, but you couldn't get it into the boat. I think it is time that you sell the boat because I have something better for you to fish for." Matthew 4:19, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." So it looks like I have a new hobby. I just have to remember that the strength he gives me is not for my pleasure, but for his kingdom. So now I just had to figure out what kind of bait I'm going to use. You know, man, I could sit around and feel sorry for myself for not being able to do the things I used to do, but that's not who I am because of Christ in me and the faith, hope, and love he grows inside his followers. I don't complain about the cramps I get, not being able to write, use my hands to grasp things, or the disease itself. I want to be a better follower of Christ, the light of Christ, and listen to what he wants me to do. I am blessed that he keeps me positive and that he has a sense of humor. When I think about him being beaten and nailed to the cross, what do I have to complain about? I am not your typical ALS patient because there are only about 10% of ALS patients that have a slow progression. My ALS is mainly in my arms and hands. I am blessed to have a wonderful wife and caretaker that helps me with the things I am unable to do. Most patients after 4 years are in wheelchairs, may have feeding tubes, may lose their voice, and have respiratory problems. I believe mine is slow because of all the prayers that go out daily for me and that God has greater plans for my life. I will close with this line. Do not be impatient with your prayers because God's timing and our timing are not the same. Thank you and enjoy this video.